This is Leo for KTWH. This week I've got on the phone with me, visiting us, a guest from Lake County Public Health. I've got Larissa Sandretsky from their department, who is coordinating with Lake County Emergency Manager Matt Pullman to present a class on disaster prep. I think it's primarily aimed for older adults, but we'll find out more from Larissa. Right now, welcome to KTWH, Larissa.
Thanks for having me, Leo.
Yeah, we really appreciate that. Again, the class that's upcoming, it's next Thursday, the 19th, at the Two Harbors Public Library. Time on that, Larissa?
Yep, it's at 3 p.m.
Okay.
And an hour long, so 3 to 4.
Great. Can you remind us again of what your role is with Lake County Public Health, the health department?
Yeah, I'm a community health educator, so I do a lot in the community, but one of my roles is emergency preparedness, so making sure we're able to and prepared to respond to disasters in the community. So I work with Matt Pullman, our emergency manager, a lot in that role.
So Larissa, I mean, this year especially has really brought to the fore the fact that a change in climate is resulting in these extreme weather events, and there are different consequences across the country and the world from these things. Disasters like floods and forest fires, hurricanes and tornadoes, but to a large extent, our neck of the woods gets a little lucky to have escaped from a lot of the most severe situations. Has there been a particular incident or discussion within the county departments about scenarios that we're trying to get folks ready for that inspired you to run this class?
So I'm doing some age-friendly work in our community, and that was one of the desires that came out of our surveys and community engagement, is just, you know, the hope that older people can stay in their homes for longer and that people want to age in their homes. And one of the aspects of that is being prepared for any type of disaster that might happen while you're at home, and just thinking through the different scenarios and how you can take care of yourself in that kind of situation. So that's kind of what made us think about it, and just getting out more into the community and talking to people about what they can do and what we're doing to prepare every day for anything that could happen, really. And especially as climate change causes increasing extreme heat, increasing winter storms and severe winter storms, floods, and coming out of the pandemic, just thinking about how we can help individuals in our community be better prepared to take care of themselves, disasters.
Yeah, Larissa, when we say disaster preparedness, are we ready to include in that not only situations that start outside the homes, you know, whether it's weather-related or human-caused crises? Are we also talking about household emergencies, medical emergencies, potential house fires, gas leaks? I mean, what all can you cover in 1 hour?
Well, we will ask people, part of what we'll cover is assessing your own risks. You know, if you do have a medical issue, maybe that's something you can think about. But we're thinking primarily about externally caused disasters,
right,
that
okay,
might impact you at home.
Fair enough. Certainly, preparation is important in all these regards, and maybe preparing for one form of emergency helps you be ready for others as well. What are the main areas of concern you'll be discussing? Are these more general preparations that apply for any disaster, or some of them really specific to specific scenarios? Wide open question. I'm sorry.
Yeah, we'll start at the presentation by talking about what is a disaster, and then what we see as bigger risks in our community. So you mentioned hurricanes at the top, and you know, obviously that's not a huge concern in Lake County. So we will talk about, you know, what we do think is a bigger risk in Lake County and what we might be prepared for, like flooding, extreme heat.
Yeah.
Severe winter storms, that kind of stuff. And then we'll talk about, we do want to hear from the group too, especially those who attend, what disasters they've lived through already and what they've learned from that, because that's always helpful to hear how people have gotten through things, especially in longer lives, what they've lived through already and how they've managed to get through and recover from those disasters. So hopefully that'll be an interesting topic for the group to cover. And then we'll kind of talk through how you can prepare for different disasters, what considerations you might want to take personally. So again, if you have medical conditions, thinking about your medications, thinking about where you live and how that might impact what you do during a disaster, you know, what kind of heat you have, what kind of medical equipment that might require electricity that you're reliant on, or do you have pets? Just all those different things that can impact what you might want to have in your preparedness kit at home.
Right.
To prepare for kind of any kind of disaster.
We talked before we started recording here about the importance of communications, both communication plans for the individuals involved that are trying to survive through this disaster, as well as the fact that communications systems can be part of what breaks down. Are you encouraging people to create some kind of checklist about what kinds of communication might help them be better prepared? For instance, you mentioned if people have medical equipment that requires electricity to work, is there some way to coordinate with our county emergency services or medical providers to get some help if you have a need that is not being met because there's a power outage, say?
Yeah, so there's ways we can, you know, we can't guarantee anything, obviously, depending on the disaster, but I know our local power companies do keep lists of customers that are medically reliant on electricity, and they may be able to look into if power goes out there, who might be a priority after that. Sure. Again, none of this is guaranteed, but it's helpful for us and for power companies to know who needs that power to power their machines to keep them alive. So that's definitely something we'll talk about. And then just, you know, if talking to your healthcare provider about some backup systems you might have in place for yourself if you lose power for an extended period. And a big part of preparedness is also just creating a support network. So, you know, getting to know your neighbors, making sure other folks know your plans if there's an emergency. So making sure you have a couple people that can get access to your house or that know what your plan is if we have an extreme winter storm or something like that. So getting in advance of the disaster, making sure you have those systems set up and have those people in place to help out and how you might communicate with them.
Sure. Yes, and I wasn't actually assuming that anyone could fix the fact that widespread power outages do happen, and so that's something to talk about with people and can be challenging because some of the backup systems might require a fair investment, like having a diesel generator at your house, or maybe we will find more and more that there are rechargeable battery units that will help extend the life of that can be deployed to run medical equipment, and that might become. But that again, that the individual is probably not going to solve that if that is not available through their medical provider.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. But we'll talk about, and you know, that's the good thing about looking at, you know, what disasters are we actually at risk for in Lake County, and thinking through those situations. Like personally, whenever there's a big storm coming, I always talk to my husband about what are we going to do if it gets below zero, if our heat goes out, if the power goes out. So just thinking through all those different scenarios and when you might make the call to leave your home, when you want to kind of shelter in place and stay home and how you might do that. So it's really an individualized plan for each person and giving people the tools to think through those scenarios and how they might handle them.
Well, speaking as someone who was trapped in my dead-end rural road for 4 days last winter, Larissa, this is not that hypothetical, and we're out without power for 60 hours. I guess, you know, that points to the fact that most of us Northeast Minnesotans see the winter season as potentially being the most dangerous, at least in our experience, and being stuck in a snowstorm or unsheltered on the coldest night ranks right up there as a concern. But more and more, it sounds like you see more other issues that we should be paying attention going forward. And among those, I think you even listed extreme heat, and certainly older folks, much more sensitive to heat in a place where very few of us have air conditioning.
Yeah, that's definitely an issue we saw this past summer, just days and days of hot weather, and that can be dangerous, especially for people that are already medically vulnerable. So that's something we'll talk about too. What would you do? How can you cool yourself down? When would you make the choice to leave your home and stay in your home, and what you might do in a longer stretch of extreme heat?
Indeed. Once again, that's the kind of situation where, again, power could go out when there is so much demand on our electric grid. So even people who have taken precautions to can afford air conditioning may not have it when they need it.
Right. Yeah, and we'll cover some of the basics, too, of just, you know, what should you include in your emergency kit? We all know we should have a couple gallons of water in our basements and extra medication if you rely on that. So we'll just go through some checklists with the group of those types of things as well. What kind of stuff should you have access to during an emergency, and what kind of emergency kit should you have ready to go?
Well, you know, Larissa, growing up, I was in the Boy Scouts, and our motto was to be prepared. And that could be open to some interpretation, because you could spend your whole life being prepared and not take time to actually live it. So I guess the question is, among our county departments that are coordinating here, and it's a really neat effort that I see between emergency management and public health. Do you have any mottos or kind of guides to, you know, what matters most? Are there shorthand for what matters most in preparing for disaster situations?
That is a great question. I think really relationships. I know that sounds kind of strange. Obviously, there's a lot of more technical things that we, you know, we have our radios at the county level and we're ready for a lot of different things. But the relationships really matter, and that matters for us at our relationships with different departments in the county, different
yes.
agencies, but it also matters at the individual level. Who can you rely on? Who on your street is vulnerable and might need extra support during a disaster? So really getting to know your neighbors and, you know, talking to your family and friends to think through these scenarios and how you might be able to help each other, I think is one of the most important things government officials and individuals can do to prepare for any type of emergency, just knowing who's there to rely on and how you can help each other.
That's a very telling response. I appreciate that a lot. And I guess one of the things I'm thinking is that if there are mostly people in their more of the elder persuasion in the room with you, just to all you listeners out there who are of younger ages who have elders on your street, this is something to pay attention to, and maybe you can, younger folks can be proactive in trying to get to know their elder neighbors who might need this kind of relationship to develop.
Yeah, definitely.
So, Larissa, is there anything that I might have or should have asked that you'd like to share with listeners about the subject of disaster preparedness?
No, I think we covered most of it. And one of the other things I do want to highlight is our Everbridge system here in Lake County. So that's how the county sends out emergency alerts to residents. So we relied on that a lot during the Greenwood fire for people who were affected in that area. So I can send the link to that, how you sign up for that, what alerts you might want to get from Lake County during disasters. That's a good way to be in the know of what's happening and from the county level.
Wonderful. Thanks for joining us today, Larissa, and we will see you down the road, and good luck with all the work you're doing with County Public Health.
Thanks so much, Leo.
Take care now.
You too.
Larissa Sandretsky from Lake County Public Health. She'll be working to teach a class in conjunction with Lake County Emergency Manager Matt Pullman. And that's coming up next Thursday, October 19th at the Two Harbors Public Library Meeting Room from 3 to 4 p.m. As a postscript to our conversation with Larissa Sandretsky from Lake County Public Health, we'd like to point out that in addition to Lake County's Everbridge Alert System, area residents can hear weather alerts from the National Weather Service and other critical local, state, and federal emergency alert messages that are forwarded to the public through KTWH's audio signal as part of the National Emergency Alert System that is an essential service of KTWH to the community. This is Leo Bayview for KTWH, Two Harbors Community Radio.